preach against it. And so what I want to talk about this morning is talk about our attitude towards sin. I mean, it's just continuously out there today. It just is. It is continuously being pushed on us, whether it's in commercials, whether it's the show you're watching, the movie you're watching, whether it's the song that you're listening to on the radio, whether it's the news that you're watching. Sin is continuously there, whether it's our friends, sometimes it's our family members, and sometimes it's just plain and simple our enemies. And so we need to understand where we should stand towards sin. Have an attitude, because it's easy to get caught up in growing content in this world of being okay with sin and just allowing it to wash over us and to have it in our movies, to have it in our songs, to have it in the atmosphere in which you live. And as we search the scriptures, we need to see that that's not the attitude we need to have. Now, understand, as we go through the lesson this morning, I'm not saying we have to completely separate ourselves and to the point that we don't ever see it. You know, people go that far that they shut themselves in their homes, and so they're going to homeschool their kids, they're going to do this, and again, homeschool's not bad, or staying at home a certain amount of time is not bad. But as we search the scriptures, we can't take ourselves out of the school. We can't. That's the only way that we're fully going to separate ourselves from sin. And the only time that's going to happen is at our death and at the day of judgment. And so we need to understand that as we look at the example of Christ, yes, he was there with sinners, and he was there shining his light. He was there teaching against the sin. But he never okayed it. He never gave them the attitude or thought that they could continue in such a lifestyle. And we need to have such an attitude. First thing I want to bring out as we talk about our attitude towards sin is understanding that when we think about sin is that there's a punishment comes with it. If we can relate to sin and punishment, then it's going to help us to stay away from it. If we can have that mindset and that attitude instead of an attitude of, well, no one sees it, so no one gets hurt. Or the old saying, what mama don't know won't hurt, right? And so that's the attitude so much of the world is that as long as no one else knows that I sin, as long as, you know, they don't know that I'm lying, as long as they don't know that I'm cursing, as long as they don't know that I'm caught up in this and it's behind the closed doors, then we're going to be okay. But God sees all things. And so when we talk about sin, we have to understand that there's a punishment that comes with sin. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and looking at verse 9. It says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And so here again, and when we read this one, some might get caught up saying, well, that don't sound so bad. You know, it just says they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Understand what you're missing out on, though. You're missing out on the greatest thing that God is willing to give to you. Again, he sent his son down to die for us just so that we can have that home in heaven. So that we can have and receive that inheritance, that forgiveness of sin, so that we can go and live eternal life without pain or worry, and to walk the street of gold, to see the precious jewels and stones that this place is made of. If we connect sin, we connect these things that it lists down in this list and talk about homosexuality and sodomites and adulterers and drunkenness and covetousness, and we look at those things and we say, I don't want to do that. Or when we commit these things and say, I need to repent of that, because if I continue to go down this path, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out. Understand that that's a lot of the temptations of this world, right? The temptation of not being part of, not being part of the crowd, not doing what everybody else is doing, not being invited to the party, and not fitting in with everybody else. Well, understand, if we give in to what everybody else is doing, we're going to miss out on the greatest thing, the greatest get-together there ever is, up in heaven. We're going to miss out. We're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so in Revelation 21 and verse 8, and there are many verses that we can read that give the description of the punishment, the wrath that God gives. And I just want to look at a couple and just give us that mindset here. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And again, so as we point out, the wrath of God, the punishment that comes along with sin is not just missing out, but also there's an opposite effect to it, that you miss out and you get sent somewhere else. So as we might be speaking of today, as we are parents and raising kids, that it's not that you just don't get a snack tonight, but you're going to go to bed early. And you're not going to get to watch TV tonight, or you're not going to get to play on the game tonight. And so it's not that you just miss one thing, but you get punishment on top of it. Maybe you don't get those things, and you get a spanking. There's more to it. We have to see that. We can relate that. Understand, I believe it. If we can have that mindset, that we relate to lying with the punishment of God every time that we consider lying, or every time it might come out, that we're going to rush and repent. We're going to be zealous and repent of our sins, because we don't want to die with that sin on our shoulders. We don't want to die knowing that we had just sinned and God's going to judge us for that sin. For lusting, for adultery, or any sin that we look through the Word of God that would separate us and keep us from entering into His kingdom. So understand, we need to relate to sin. When we think about sin, an attitude that we have to have sin is that it leads to the wrath of God. Leads to the punishment of God. And that means from the biggest sin that you might consider, murder, serial killer, or a rapist, all the way down to that, all liars. All down to the unbelieving. All the way down to the cowardly. Now we relate sin to those points and say, I don't want to be at that point. I don't want to face the wrath of God. We have to have that kind of attitude towards sin. Again, the world just tries to throw it at us. They try to make us accept it. They say, accept it or you are wrong. Accept it or you are the one that needs to be punished. And a lot of people have come to that point of acceptance of, well, it's just life. You just get used to it. We should not get used to sin. Now, understand, I know there's a certain point of useness to it, you getting useful to it, but it still should upset us when we think about sin. It should still get us a little mad or sad when we see it on the television so often, when it's in the commercial that our kids have to watch. When you're watching a kids show, and though they may not pick up on what they're trying to push in this point, you can clearly see it as an adult and say when they get older, they're going to recognize that. I don't know how many shows that, how many movies I've gone back to watch and said, man, I love this movie. Then you watch and you're like, I can't believe they let me watch this movie. They are continuously putting it at us. We have to hate sin. We have to hate it. And you know, as I go back and I watch some stuff and it seems to be decently innocent, but you go back years, of course, I'm talking eons ago. Old enough for me to say, a while back, as we deal with homosexuality and transgenderness today, when I was younger in the shows, it was more making fun of stuff like that. It was just a small prank that was going on, and someone, the boy in the show, was doing something, and so he was dressed up as a girl, and he wasn't actually going through the stages. He wasn't caught up in transgenderism. He wasn't trying to date another guy, literally. But it was just a point. It was a joke. It was something there. And people laughed at it. We laughed at it. I know I did. But now I see it today. I was like, well, it was a joke yesterday. Today, it's all seriousness. All seriousness. We they start with the small things to make it look funny. And then they eventually push it on us hard and say that it has to be accepted. Do we hate sin or do we laugh at sin? It's not a laughable subject. Sin isn't. In Proverbs 8, verse 13, Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8, verse 13, here says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Again, going back to what we studied and talked about in the last point of the wrath of God, to fear His wrath, to fear that punishment, to be feared, not inheriting the kingdom of God, not receiving that mansion up above. That fear, what does that fear say? It says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate sin. To hate these things. Meaning it should cause us to get upset when we have to deal with sin, when we see others sinning, when we have to sit there and worry about what is going to be taught to our children. It should cause sorrow in our hearts when we see somebody caught up in it. Sad and afraid for all our loved ones, our friends and our neighbors and our enemies that won't turn from it. There's no room for accepting sin. In Proverbs 6 and verse 16, Proverbs 6 and verse 16, it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. God hates these things. Hates them. Again, it's the point that if we get caught up in such actions, that we give in to such things, and that we allow people to think it's okay to go down that path, you're saying it's okay to be hated by God. Had to have a hatred for evil, a hatred for sin. You know, we go around, we try to teach our kids not to say they hate anything. And, you know, it's easy for them when they're fighting with their brother and sister and they get caught up and they're rushed in the moment of attitude. I hate you! Whoa, take a step back. Look at what God is going to do to those who continue in things that He hates. Where our hatred should be pointed at. We must hate evil, hate these sins. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 104 says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Again, it's not just those big ones sitting there and saying, I hate killers. I hate rapists. I hate those who continue to go around cheating on other people. I hate, you know, you start listing these. Do we hate those that hate when people continuously swear around us? Does it cause us to cringe? Or are we so? I mean, it's easy to get used to that. Easy to get used to swearing because it's in everything. It's in the movies, it's in the shows, it's on commercials, it's in the songs. Swearing is just, again, you go around certain people and they don't think twice about it. It's the way they talk. They don't think twice about their young ones saying it. They don't stop them because it's the way they talk. Again, because they've grown so used to it, they've grown content to it. We must hate sin, hate evil. So I want to look at a few more verses this evening going on with the attitude towards sin. And the point that we want to separate ourselves from sin. We want to keep away from sin. We want to teach against sin. And so John chapter 5 and verse 14. Again, We get caught up so often. We read and go to Romans and we point out, well, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible has committed all, the Scripture has committed all to sin. And so therefore we have that attitude, and we often say, and I think we need to be careful when we say, is that, well, we all sin, so it's okay. It's all right. Yes, we all sin, and we all fall short, but if you don't repent of it, and you don't strive to overcome it, you don't work to get better in overcoming that sin, to changing your desires from one thing to the will of God, then it's not okay. It's not okay. When Jesus went forth and he healed people from being physically sick and he took care of others and he taught them. Read what he says here in John 5 and verse 14. John 5 and verse 14, he says, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Jesus said, sin no more. And again, John chapter 8 and verse 11. John chapter 8 and verse 11. There it says, Jesus said to him, no, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Understand, yes, Jesus didn't cast the stone at her. He didn't put her to death. But he also didn't say, go on your merry way and continue to do what you've been doing. Don't go continuously being an adulteress. Don't continue and go down that path. Go on your way. You have another opportunity today to repent and sin no more. And I understand. I know, again, going back, we are human. We will face temptations. We will fall from time to time. But again, don't take those points and say, that means I have to sin every single day. You won't find a verse in the Bible that says you sin every day. We don't have to sin every day. We may face temptation every day. I believe that. From the smallest thing to the bigger things. There's always temptation not to pray, temptation not to study, temptation to just give up and stay in bed and not be productive and help take care of your house and your family. Temptations that we face every day. Sometimes we don't even realize they're temptations. They are. You're like, well, I have to do that. Yeah, you have to. But guess what? Some people choose not to. Go and sin no more. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 9 here says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Have nothing to do with evil. Hate it. And what? Cling to what is good. Hold on to the good things. Again, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Go into Ephesians 8. We focus on what is good. Cling on to what is good. Find good. But abhor what is evil. Hate these evil things. 1 John 3 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 9. Says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And again, not everything we read is literal. It's not saying that we won't ever sin again. Man, that's the attitude we need to have, though. We need to have the attitude of, I am a child of God. I have reached the blood of Christ when I was baptized. And therefore, I am a child of God, and I do not want to sin anymore. Why? Go back to verse 8. It says, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan has sinned since the beginning. He is the tempter. And And therefore, when we give into sin, we are of the devil. We are the work of the devil. And therefore, God sent Jesus to destroy his works. AKA destroy us if we're continuing to have sin. That's why we go to Christ and we are baptized into him to kill the sin, to put to death the old person, to be raised up a new person who walks in righteousness. Do you see the attitude we're supposed to have towards sin as we look through the Scriptures? We can't accept sin. We can't go forth and have an attitude to just okay it. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 7, here's a great example for us. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, Let lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house and do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garments in her hand and fled and ran outside. Attitude towards sin, this is the attitude we have to have. When sin approaches us, when someone comes and says, "Let's commit adultery, fornication, let's lie about this situation so that we don't get caught. Let's go forth and swear this person out. Let's be a bully, beat someone up. Let's do these evil things," and say, "How can I do this evil and sin against God?" When someone says they don't deserve to be forgiven and God says forgive, how can we do this evil and sin against God? They sin against us, and we're going to sin against them if we are not willing to forgive. And when it just came to the point that the world was just going to latch onto you, and it comes time, be ready to just run away. Sometimes that's what we got to do. Sometimes we have the opportunity to stand there, to discuss and have a Bible study and to shine a good light and to show them the right path. But there's times in which we just got to leave the situation. Flee from these things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 22, where it tells us here, "Flee also youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Flee your youthful lust. Again, running away from him. When she grabbed a hold of Joseph, he just ran. He was not going to allow the temptation. He wasn't just going to stand there and say, "I won't do it, I won't do it." Why she did everything that she tried to do to him. He fled. He says, "I'm not going to be around it," to give it the opportunity. How often do we do that? Or do we, we're often the opposite. Say, "Well, I can stay a little bit longer. Well, if it says one more," I'm bad with movies. I'm not gonna lie. I like movies. I like TV. I watch. I can sit and watch a lot. And I can sit there and say, "Oh, well, you know, it said something here. But, you know, if it says it a few more times, then I'll turn it off." And they might say it through the whole movie. How often do we finally actually say, "No, no more"? It shows something on the TV that you know that you shouldn't see. You know the children shouldn't see. And, "Oh, well, it's just one scene. Or it's just two scenes. Or it's just," and we say one more. We like to walk the line. We want to straddle the fence. but understand God wants us to completely get away from it. We can't stand in the middle and say, well, you know, I'm not going to tell them that they're wrong and try to teach them the truth, but I'm not doing it myself either. Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. We want to play it so close to that line. But yet here, as we look to the Word of God, Revelation 3, verse 16, says, so then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you can't choose a side. Because you want so badly to be a part of the world, but yet you know the consequences, and so you stand right there in the middle. You say, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, but I'm not as great as so-and-so. I'm right here in the middle. Satan owns the fence, guys. If you're on the fence, Satan owns it. Get away from it. Get away from it. Flee from sin. Have nothing to do with it. Be ready in season and out of season to convince, to rebuke, to exhort one another, to teach against sin. And understand it's just continuously going to get worse. It's going to continue to be pushed on us. And I know as those who are older than I can stand up here and say how far the world has gotten, how far TV has gotten, how far certain things have been accepted, what they didn't used to teach in school. And I'm telling you now, as young as I am, I can sit here and do the same thing. It's just continued to going to get worse. By the time my kids graduate, they're going to be able to do the same thing. So we have to be ready to teach against sin, ready to stand our ground. Have an attitude of not accepting sin, an attitude to follow Christ in all things. So I want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning to any who need to obey the gospel, to any who are ready to put sin behind them. If you are old enough to understand what sin is, you'll understand that you have to be obedient to your parents. You understand that lying is wrong. You understand these things are wrong. Why? Because God said so. Because we find it in the Bible. You know that it is wrong to do so. And you know that you've done these things. And you're old enough and you've read the Word of God. You've heard it be taught. You know who Jesus is. You know that He died for your sins. And you understand that that is the only way for your sins to be forgiven. Understand. If you understand those things, telling you now, you're probably accountable for your actions. Your decision to put sin behind you and to become a child of God. And so if you understand those things, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel. Come forward. Let us assist in baptizing you into Christ, allowing God to forgive your sins, for God to add you to His kingdom. If you're here and you've made that commitment once before and you understand that it's a hard fight, you've been struggling, you need prayers of congregation, or if you just want to let it be known that you have given back into temptation and that you want to get that behind you and you want the help from brethren, if there's anything we can do for you, please let it be known as we stand and sing.
I will call upon